Amen. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you so much for who you are. Jesus, you are our Savior. You died in our place. You took all of our pain, all of our suffering, our sins, our shortcomings, sickness and disease to the cross 2,000 years ago, according to Isaiah 53. And we just thank you for all you did for us and the new life you set us free to, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, for giving us Holy Spirit that you sent to the earth, Lord, inside us when we received you. Your Spirit of truth and revelation and comfort and strength and guidance. Lord, we thank you. And we thank you for your word. Lord, we just ask you to enlighten us through your scriptures, through your spoken word that was recorded, Lord. And we just ask you to show us how to apply it to our lives, Lord. And we want all of you we can get, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is my final installment on this is a Holy Spirit series on, I'm going to do some of the more of the gifts later, but this is kind of like wrapping it up. It really was two parts that went to four. And I just encourage you guys to dig into the word, especially the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a captivating story of just how, even though when Jesus went to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit down inside of us in his place, right? And it was the beginning of a brand new chapter. The kingdom of God had come with Holy Spirit and empowered his disciples to turn the world inside, like upside down, inside out. And it's just really beautiful stories of faith. So particularly when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 1 and 2, dig into it. And then the gifts of the Holy Spirit are really taught significantly in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, especially in 12, 13, and 14. Really good places to dig. So I'll just say this. We at Your Christian Fellowship are in a season of more. Do you know why? Because we need to start being less satisfied with everything else that fills us in our life. I'll just be real. Brad and I were kind of talking a little bit about just personal breakthroughs and breakthroughs for our church. And Brad and I were like, you know, I don't know how to slow down. Like, how do you slow down with all the responsibilities in your life? But to the best of our ability, are trying to just reprioritize our lives to put Jesus first more. Does that make sense? And sometimes it's not like we have less responsibility or more time, but it's talking to him, communing with him. Prayer is just a conversation with God where we're talking to him and we're listening. And a life of worship is why we're doing things. We are being thankful. And we're just praising the Lord and thanking him and just lifting him, making him bigger. He is majestic. He is magnificent. He is the creator of heaven and earth. And sometimes we need to get out of our small little world, right? And when we have this lifestyle of reprioritizing, really making him Lord of our lives, it creates more space for him to fill us. Does that make sense? We just have stuff that fills our lives. Stuff. I have tons of stuff. Anyone besides me? Come on. We're in America. Like, listen, I'll tell you, some of these other countries, if you've ever been to another country and they prioritize something called the siesta, I mean, it's fantastic. You go to other countries and they have a 4-hour block where they get home. They go home, they eat, they nap. And I'd be just thanking Jesus. I'd have more to praise and worship about. It's just, within other cultures, sometimes it's easier to rest, and the Bible commands us to rest. And I'm going to probably talk about a little bit idolatry and things like that later. I don't know. I got a lot of whirling and swirling messages in me. But I do think this spirit-filled life that we're talking about, and that's what I'm talking about. And today I'm talking about untying personal tongues. Tongues is a gift in the Bible, and we talked very clearly last week about all the ways you're not supposed to do it. All the ways people make it weird and awkward, the nails on the chalkboard. And I want to tell some inspirational stories today of the powerful gift of tongues and how it operates in our life. But I'll say this. The number one thing right now is for us to crave more, we need to create space for more. Listen, I'll eat a whole bag of Doritos, like, and lick my fingers. Like, I mean, and then I'm like scraping, you know, when the orange stuff gets in the corners of your mouth. Like, but when I eat a whole bag of Doritos, and I like the spicy ones, anyone else? You know, and my mom cooks. My mom's a phenomenal cook. And if you've ever been, raise your hand if you've been over to Pastor D's, whether at her house or whatever, I can always tell what she brings to the potluck. Like, I know my mom's style. It tastes so good, but if you don't have room, because we filled up on the junk of life, even though you know it's so good, doesn't quite taste the same. Does that make sense? When you're not hungry. And I, you know, Brad and I have just been having conversations the last month, and I told him, I said, honey, I was just praying for just breakthrough. And I said, I just see you and me, and God talks to me in pictures. I said, I just see you. We live in a little house, and just see you on the couch with your guitar and the boys kind of doing their thing. And me just sitting on my, I always talk about my ugly chair. It's got stains all over it, coffee stains, baby stuff. And just sitting there and him strumming on the guitar and just singing and me just reading our Bible and just praying together. And I said, I feel like the solution for just our breakthrough and just things are just in that secret place. You know, they talk about the secret place. It's just that quiet place. It's that place of rest. And sometimes to do that, my house has to look like a wreck. And I don't know about you, I can't rest in a messy house. Anyone besides me? I just close doors. I found out the key to my time with the Lord with reading my Bible, because I'm in a season that I'm going to have a messy house right now. I just shut the door and I pretend like that room doesn't exist. I've been doing it for 2.5 years now. But, you know, hey, with a second child, I just shut more doors because I'm not having less in my life. So I'm having to fight to reprioritize. And I'm learning to run around less. I finally tapped into curbside pickup. I actually like grocery shopping. Anyone? I like it. I like, because I get into, I love to cook. I got it from my mom. I like to cook. So when I see different ingredients, I'm like, ooh, I can cook with this and this. You know, I do not like to clothes shop. Believe it or not, people are like, no, just don't like going to the mall. Forget it. So I have Old Navy online. Beep, we're good. But I'm in a season, I am going to have to fight to create more space and less junk and do things a little simpler. Sometimes it's just invite people to barbecue out. Why they don't go to your house? You know, you just got to clean up the pathway to the bathroom. Hey, we're just barbecuing outside. Strategy. Because we are moving into a season of more. I'm declaring it at YCF. More of him, more of the Lord. I want more of Father, Son, Holy Spirit in my life. And he will consume every part of you that you give him. I don't know. We're followers of Christ Jesus. We're his. But let's just be real. Like, our lives are so full. They're just so full. And I've been preaching this, getting God out of the box in our lives. And I'll be honest with you, we smile and nod, and it's easy to say, yeah, right? Yeah, I want all of God I can get. And now comes the hard part where you go, now I have to create a little more space to spend time with him and connect with godly Christian fellowship, right? And stir, I talked to, was it 2 weeks ago, about how do you stir yourself up in the Holy Spirit? You know, we've asked for the Holy Spirit to fill our life. And by the way, you know, just going into this, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, when we believe in our heart and speak with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe it in my heart. I said it with my mouth. I'm born again. And the Spirit of Christ Jesus comes inside of me. And we get him. And there's this portion of him in our lives. And what this more, this life of more, talks about in the Bible, this infilling of the Holy Spirit says, there's more. I heard there's more and I want it. And I want you to fill every part of my life. I don't just want to be the person that talks about the Lord at church or at my Bible study. I know I'm trying to honor my mom. I want more. And guys, the pressures of life, we leak. Monday, painfulness. It's just, life is hard. Life is painful. Come on. And it's just, and we're ready for this. We're helping other people. We're ministering. We're praying with other people. And after a while, especially if you work, I'm going to say full-time ministry, if you work as a social worker, a nurse, a teacher, People that, police officers, people that work with people constantly and are constantly giving. If you're a parent, guys, you're in full-time ministry. You're like, but I'm not Pastor so-and-so. Are you feeding, guiding, and protecting people? That is the definition of a pastor, to feed, guide, and protect. Do you do that on a daily basis? You're in full-time ministry. Guys, I worked in customer service, full-time ministry. Working with people is hard. And guys, it kind of drains you sometimes. And the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, in the original Greek, like grammatically things sometimes, you know, there's grammar is a little different in different languages, but it says ever be being constantly and continually filled with the Holy Spirit. I want a life of more. And therefore I need to first be dissatisfied with less of him in my life. That's the real talk. The busyness, the fullness, all the trophies. And you know, trophies are not always like physical trophies. We have trophies and crowns in our life of things that we're very proud of, and we should be, but we should be most proud of him first, right? So if we're living vicariously through our accomplishments, if we're living vicariously through children, if we're living vicariously through the bigger car we drive and the bigger house, there's nothing wrong with it. To him all be the glory, right? Take people on your boat. Share your life story and glorify Jesus with them. There's nothing wrong with the boat. Use it for his glory. Got a bigger house? You know what's great? You can invite more people over, have a barbecue, pray over your food, and just weave your story of how God did great things in your life. But when we let the stuff, the entertainment, fill our life, there's not a lot of room for him to overflow. Like if I had a cup and I just put all the stuff in it, I wasn't planning on sharing that, but I was really thinking about, we're talking about this life of infilling and overflowing of Holy Spirit. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit means to be satiate to the point of stain or died. In other words, when you asked the Lord to come into your life, you were a cucumber and you got pickled. Can you ever go back? Listen, I'm following him. I'm his. I got baptized and filled, but I'll tell you this, like I say sometimes there are, you ever seen, come on, you ever been to a potluck? We're going to a lot of potlucks in the heat, right? You ever been to a hot potluck and it's 90 degrees? Somebody put one, I like the crispy pickles. I pay a little extra for the Clausen or like some homemade ones and they're crispy. But if you leave that pickle out of the pickling solution in the 100 degrees outside in the sun, 4 hours later, it's just like a rubbery bleh, you know? Is it still a pickle? Yeah. But do the pressures and the stress and the heat and the intensity and just life start kind of making you just kind of wobble, wobble, wobble. You know, all right, we're going to talk. All right, we need to constantly, continually be being filled with the Holy Spirit. So be satisfied with less of him. Be satisfied with the life of less. Does that make sense? Be dissatisfied. I don't know. You know what I'm saying. Start to be dissatisfied with a life that is filled with other stuff and less of him. And now start creating space. All right. We're gonna just jump into the thick of it. I have some incredible stories and I don't wanna backtrack a lot. So I'll just say this. Most of you have been here for a lot of my series the last 4 weeks. So for the sake of just, I wanna hit some really powerful scriptures and stories to give you kind of understanding. So I'll say this, go back and listen to the last couple. We're just going to dive in really quick. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. There was unity. And suddenly, by the way, they're praying. They're praying and they're seeking the Lord. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames or tongues of fire settled on each of them. So this word fire is a symbol in the Bible. You see different symbols of water and fire, you know, for the Spirit. Fire symbolizes this manifest presence of God. When he's here, but man, he comes in and like it gets heavy. You know, it gets real, real, okay? And it says this, an interesting, in Deuteronomy 4, verse 24, it says, Lord, The Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. So man, when he comes and he goes, now, what are you going to let me fill? And we go, I'm good. I read my scripture today in my little Bible app while I drove, and that's better than nothing. Praise God. But you know, you could keep letting it play on your drive. Seriously, you just keep the Bible playing, you know? But we're like, because he's jealous for you. I'm not sharing Brad. Listen. I may not look pretty scrappy, but I'll fight you. I'm not sharing the love of my life. Jesus wants all of you. And all these other loves are called idols. They kind of just dry us out. I'll talk about it more later. So anyway, he comes down. And I'm just going to jump ahead in the notes. My goal at the end of every message, but especially this one, is for us to really just say in our heart, Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get. Fill me, not just for my sake, because he comes, he fills us for our sake, but he overflows for everyone else's. If we can get outside of our small little world and say, Holy Spirit, fill me up so the world around me changes, so I have supernatural strength, ability, efficiency, and might to help others in a way that I could not do in my own strength. So, the Bible records the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and witnesses saw and heard something different. They were different. There is something about when we're living this overflowing life that's different. There's boldness. And boldness is not a personality. That's brashy. Excuse me. You ever met someone that they're just a big personality? That's just their personality. But boldness, did you know you can be meek and be bold? I've met quieter people that I'll tell you, I take them a lot more seriously when they speak up. You don't have to shout to be bold. Excuse me. It is a supernatural confidence. There is a boldness. I'll tell you what else. What you start seeing is joy. What happened in the upper room? Man, they got so full of the Holy Spirit. And yes, by the way, there was a manifestation of tongues. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the powerful gift of tongues. We're going to talk about how it works in your life as an incredible tool and weapon. It's awesome. But you know what's so cool? Out of the overflow life, there's a boldness. It's not a brashiness. There's a love. Because when you love people so much and you got the answer inside of you, it's like a fire shot up in your bones. You got to let it out. That's what Jeremiah said. And there was a joy of the Lord that is our strength. They were so joyful, people thought they were drunk. So I'm going to challenge you guys. Yes, Holy Spirit, we've asked him to fill us, but are we being constantly, continually filled with him? Are we stirring ourselves up in the word and worship and fellowship with other believers that are seeking the Lord? Because the evidence of a spirit-filled life is not just, ready for this, and people are like, well, I pray in tongues. I said, good. Well, where's the fruit of the Spirit in your life? The evidence of a spirit-filled life are gifts. Yes, you need to be overflowing in the gifts. But you better have some fruit in your life too, because the fruit in your life makes the gifts palatable. Because if there's no love and no joy and no peace, the Bible says, what? Took a break when it's talking about the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about all doing all the gifts in decency and in order. Talks about doing the gifts in 14, in decency and order. And it talks a whole heck a lot about the gift of tongues because, man, that one people just use the wrong way at the wrong time. And it just, what's it say? It says, if I speak of in the tongues of angels and I do not have love, I am like a gonging, clanging cymbal at the wrong time in the wrong place in the orchestra. There's a cool time to do it though, right? Come on, listen, I married a musician. I've always enjoyed the arts. I love going to concerts. Everybody invite me, man. I love it when people, parents text me ahead of time. That's right. I love going to the arts. And it's really cool when there's the right place to do it. But when someone's making it all about them in the wrong time and the wrong place, it can ruin the beauty of the unity of all the other gifts. The unity of the divine song of the lives the Lord is weaving together for his glory. All right. Acts 2, verse 4. This is just reading through the book of Acts and this the gift of Holy Spirit and then the gift of tongues and the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit is just rolling, man. It's incredible. It says everyone present was filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other different foreign languages and tongues as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue and appropriate words. So what is a tongue? A tongue, very simply, means a language. So if you meet someone from another country and maybe they have an accent, and you know, you ever meet somebody and they have a little bit of an accent? You might say, hey, what's your native tongue? What's your language of origin? What's your first language, right? Okay, so it's language, all right? 1 Corinthians 13:1, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. So we talked that there last week, there are the earthly language. How many? I don't even know how many languages there are on this earth that are documented, recorded, and translated. Tons. And they're discovering more of local dialects and things like that. So there are languages of this earth that manifested on the day of Pentecost. And then it talks about throughout the word, there's also the language of God where it says this, the tongues of men and of angels, a heavenly language. And this is when the Holy Spirit transcends our intellect and understanding and gives a supernatural ability to speak in another language, whether it be of earth, a natural language, right? Or of God. And we talked a little bit about this last week. So it is an outward sign of the and an evidence of the infilling and overflowing life. And I want to say this. The moment you ask Holy Spirit to fill you, because there is more, he infuses you with his presence. His presence is power. He is not, it's not an it. Holy Spirit isn't an it. It's a person. God is one person in three different forms, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But with him comes power. And this is seltzer water, but I'll tell you, the Spirit-filled life, when you say, Holy Spirit, fill me up, fresh and filling, you are infused, right? With the power of Holy Spirit, but we have a choice ready to stir ourselves up. And it says to put your hands on other people. We talked about laying hands. Like, all right, come on, we'll do it. Put your hand on someone's shoulder beside you. You don't need to make it weird. You can pray for people. In our culture, touching someone's shoulder shows love and support and care, right? It's just something different when you're going through a hard time and someone hugs you or puts their hand on your shoulder, you know, or, you know, with men, manly men, they pat you on the back. Come on, man, you got this. Right? Come on, right? There's just something about a connection and it stirs itself up. And when we talked in the past about different ways to stir yourselves up, I'll tell you, it starts stirring you up. And I'll tell you, oh, I know, I'm sorry. Mama, hey mama, good to see you. Your hair looks so good today. I do like her cooking, so So what happens is when you are, it gets you whirling and swirling with the word of God and a life of worship. I took time yesterday Brad was so sweet. He took the kids to my in-law's house, and I just spent time with the Lord. And I was singing to him and talking to him throughout the day and in the word. And I was doing laundry and gardening and folding clothes and cleaning weird stuff off my floor. But I was talking to him. And I'll tell you what came, and you can choose to open your mouth. Or you can keep the lid on. Think of this. When you've asked the Holy Spirit, just fill my life. We're all in the river. You know, the songs, the river of God. You know, we sing about those songs. We're all in the river, okay? And do you know what's great when you go to the river? You can just lean back and kick up your feet and just go with the current. I like that. Or you can stand in it and just let it flow around you. You can keep the lid on or the lid off. And my encouragement to you, pop the lid off, y'all. Let's have a little fun in here. I'll tell you, let them speak through you in the different gifts and in the gifts of tongues. I'll tell you what, and in songs and in prophecy, it's really cool what happens when you just open up your mouth and start talking to God and get out of your head, blast some worship music. It is fun. And what comes with it, we're going to talk about the refreshing that comes with it. There's my intro. Here we go. All right, Lord, thank you. Multiply my time. Acts 2, 38 through 39, Peter answered them. And this is after he got filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of and the release from your sins. And you will receive the gift of Holy Spirit. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is to you, for you, your children, and all that are far away. That means he's for everyone that asks. He's yours. He's not an elitist. Isn't that great? And the Bible also says this. He said he's a good father. And if you ask for breakfast, he's going to give you a good breakfast, right? He said if you ask for an egg, he's not going to give you a stone to break your tooth. And it says, so it is with the Holy Spirit. If you ask, he's going to give you a good thing. Is he going to give you something that's going to ruin your life? No. Is he going to give you something? No. Now, listen, he's good. It's good. But you need to learn how to, when you open up a gift on Christmas, especially we talk about power tools. Remember my dad's story about nailing his hand to the wall? The more powerful the tool, you better read the manual. Come on. How many people? I hate reading manuals. I don't read manuals. Hey, Mom, remember before I was married? My mom is very mechanically minded. I would go to her house and I would just talk her ear off and helped her while she would put stuff together. Then I just got married and someone else enabled me. Okay, I hate reading manuals. I hate it. Brad's like, no, 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 I know. But if you don't read the manual and you're working with a powerful tool or a weapon, hello, you can do damage to yourself and other people. And that's what happened. I talked about it last week. People use tongues in the wrong time, in the wrong place, in the wrong way, and they're just weird. It makes it weirder. All right. And that's why a lot of people don't want to mess with it. They're like, okay, I'm just, listen. If you've asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the ability, the power, the efficiency and might is in you, but you're like, nope, because I've seen everybody do it wrong, not doing it. He's not going to make you. You can choose to keep, it's okay. You can stand in the river or you can kick back. We're all in the river. So don't make someone feel less. Does that make sense? I've seen people use that in a wrong way. That's not the heart of God. And oh, that's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of us, I'll just be honest with you, just where our brains are wired a little bit different. Does that make sense? And just for some people, the ability's in them and they just got to just get in the right environment where no one's looking at you, no one's praying at you. I'll tell you, probably some of my greatest intellectuals, their time flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit is in the evening, at home, or early in the morning when no one else is around and they're just playing some worship music and they're reading the word and they're just speaking worship to the Lord, and all of a sudden, tongues and prophecy comes out. Isn't that kind of cool? Okay, here we go. All right. 1 Corinthians 14, 39 through 40. Desire earnestly to prophesy. We talked about last week, prophecy, to build up, to encourage, to comfort, and strengthen. That's 1 Corinthians 14, 3. Tongues plus interpretation is prophecy. And it says, don't forbid the speaking in tongues just because other people have just ruined it and done it weird, right? But be sure that everything is done orderly and properly. Decency and order. Okay. So what is the purpose of tongues? Why should we speak in tongues? It is the language of God. This is the other kind, the private tongues we're talking about. The title of my message is Untying Personal Tongues. This is when God wants, it's just you and him, okay? So this is when it's the language of God to communicate intimately with God without limitation, to be able to pray the perfect will of God for our lives and for other people. All right, does anybody have a family member that is a trucker or works in a vehicle where they have a CB radio, or back in the day they did? You'll see this in some of the emergency vehicles and so forth, you know, CB radios. All right, different people use different channels for different reasons, right? Different people use different channels for different reasons on the CB radio. There's the special emergency channel, right? There's the one that the police officers are listening to and firefighters, right? Okay. And anytime you need the police or emergency assistance, there you switch frequencies, right? Because that's for them, all right? And no one else can monitor that, right? The police have their own line of communication, right? All right. Let me see here. How do I say this? All right, tongues is the language of God. He understands it, and he'll give you understanding. If you want to know what you're praying, ask the Lord to interpret it and just start. I'll teach it. Pray in tongues and pray in English. Pray in tongues, just flow in and out. It's like a little faucet. You know, it's like hot, cold. You know, a little faucet, you can turn it hot, you can turn it to cold. You just switch back and forth. You will find yourself praying for people and things that you never thought to pray for. I'm going to share some incredible stories, okay? Let's see here. Okay, so you're praying at a frequency that the Satan doesn't understand, he can't pick up. So it's like this, if you've ever, it's like static to him. He doesn't understand it, all right? It's a way of bypassing Satan's radar to push past his surveillance. Okay, so let me give an example here. I'm a child of the 90s. I remember in a very somber way, the war in Iraq. You guys remember in the 90s? Okay. It was a very scary time. And back then, the U.S. forces and the Allies were up against Iraq, had a very, very modern radar defense system. And they were trying to figure a way to win the war. And how do we get past the enemy's surveillance system, their radar system, right? So do you guys remember what was invented? And this probably isn't a big thing to the now generation, but do you guys remember when the stealth bomber came out? Come on, all you Top Gun people, you know, come on. I was raised with those movies. But when the stealth bomber came out, it was the game changer. And it helped us win the war. Because what happened, that stealth bomber could fly and not be picked up by the radar of the enemy. It was stealth. And what they do, it dropped bombs and it helped us win the war. That's what tongues is. It goes underneath the radar. He doesn't understand it, okay? We are speaking mysteries that Satan cannot understand, therefore he cannot thwart the perfect will of God in our prayers, okay? So it bypasses these limitations of our understanding and it prays God's strategy. So for instance, when you just feel like you're being attacked from every side, you ever been through a season, and I know this because I'm a pastor and people call me, and please do. When you're like, I'm getting attacked in my finances, I'm getting attacked in my health, I'm getting attacked in my marriage, I'm getting attacked with my kids, and then the HOA just put a note on my door, and that's my breaking point in our family. HOAs. God did not invent the HOA, okay? All right. This is when we need to pray, but we don't always know what to pray for, right? You know? All right. The reason why, I'm going to take a side note here. The reason why Satan works so hard to get people to not pray in tongues and to make it all weird or make it all condemning, it got all so twisted in the past, okay? Is because if he can get you to not want to or beat yourself up because you haven't yet, he gets you to not use a weapon that he can't defend himself from. Does that make sense? He doesn't have the stealth bomber. So he knows an only way to win the war at this point is to play dirty and get in your head about it, okay? And this is why, honestly, he makes it super weird with other people. I'll tell you, a spirit of religion is the fastest way to just dry up and destroy a church. It's criticism, it's division. It's operating the gifts outside of decency and in order. It's selfishness. It makes things all about me. What does religion do? Come on, it destroys everything, right? Religion, what, takes God's word out of context and other people's words out of context and uses it for its own agenda. And that's why Satan really likes, that's his little stealthy thing he wings. Oh, no, they're a Christian. Yeah, but you know what? I don't sense any fruit of the Spirit in their life. And when they're pushing those gifts, clear room. All right, so there are four different types of tongues. I talked about there are two for public use, and that's where it gets all twisted. We talked about it last week, and two for private. And I just want to take the last 20 minutes to go over some scripture and some stories. And we're going to pray at the end. So, by the way, I really will need some, if you've ever been in a grow group ministry team, in other words, if you've hosted it at your house, you know, if you're a ministry director, I'd like just some help praying for people. Anybody wants it? I don't push it, just the opportunity to pray for people at the end, okay? So, tongues for private personal use. This is what I'm talking about today. There's one, tongues for intercession for people. This is a personal prayer time. It helps you pray for others. When things confront us that are bigger than what we are, you ever get a phone call from someone or really normally a text? I get more texts in the middle of the night. Please pray. 2 in the morning. Guys, I didn't get any details. I don't know what to pray. I don't know if someone got violent at their house. I don't know if they're on their way to the emergency room. They didn't have time to text. What do I pray? I'll tell you first, I'm going to go in English. I'm going to pray everything I know to possibly pray, right? But sometimes I don't have all the details, but God sees, God knows, and God knows what they need in that time, whether it be protection or healing or strength, what God knows. So what do? Things sometimes happen that are heavier than we can even carry. I'll tell you, I've had people, and this is not funny in any capacity, I have had people share, oh gosh, in youth ministry, man, I remember, this is a little graphic, I'm gonna be careful. In abuse situations, I'm gonna be vague. I have gotten those texts and it just rattles me. I'm not gonna go into it because sometimes it can be triggering for people. And I am so overcome with emotions. There's like anger and there's just grieving and how could they and how, what, and are they okay? Are they gonna be okay? That trauma can mess with you the rest of your life. I pray everything I know to, and that's a heavy weight that I'm not even able to carry. And this is when the gift of tongues really can come up. Romans 8, 26 through 27. It says, in the same way the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know all the details. I'm not strong enough to carry the depths, the heaviness of the situation. We do not know what to pray to offer or how to offer it as we should, but the Spirit himself knows our need and at the right time intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. And he'll just awaken someone in the middle of the night and they just see your face and I woke in the middle of the night and there's just this urgency to pray and I just thought of this one person. I'm going to pray everything I know to pray and then I'm going to go into my prayer language of tongues and the Lord's going to pray what they need. And I'll tell you, a really good example of this is it's been documented adrenaline in your body is a very interesting thing. I don't know what God did, but he created the human body. And I don't know if you've ever seen this at work. My father-in-law fixes RVs and manages a car. He can fix anything. But, you know, it's very dangerous under heavy equipment, especially, you know, have you ever seen someone along the side of the road and they're trying to change a tire, how dangerous that is? So it would be like, what if you saw your friend and all of a sudden that something happened with the jack, they're trying to change a tire or they're under the equipment and they got crushed under the weight. There is nothing in the natural in you that can go lift that truck off your friend. But they have a heart condition. And you know, I'm calling the emergency people, but I got to do something now. And tongues is like the supernatural adrenaline. They can't even explain what adrenaline does to your body, especially mothers, if something happened with their child, what they can lift. And all of a sudden, they go, so they did something they could have never done. But it was just something that kicks in. That's what tongues is like in your prayer. When weights in this world and situations, they could be emotional, they could be just really heavy, they could be things happening in the world. There's things going on with wars and you don't know the details, but you know to pray. And then you run out of words. Especially, I'll say this, in grief. If you lost someone, you run out of words. It just hurts so deeply. And I've been in places of prayer, of grieving losses. And I'm out of words and it's just a sound. And the Lord hears. And it says the effective fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. That means if it's from your heart, it's powerful. This is the deep heart intercession. It's not always emotional per se. But it's deep and it's heavy. And the Lord comes in and he's going to lift weights you know you can't lift on your own. Supernaturally through prayer. This term in Romans 8, 26 through 27, it says in the same way. It refers to the creation. Okay, it actually, I don't have time to teach it. Birth or travail, the groaning. Okay, childbirth happened to me twice. I think you black out. You just don't remember it, so you want to have another kid. I'm at the face. I don't even remember. Let's get another one, right? I know, right? But okay, give me the epidural. Okay, My mom, who's fantastic, okay, I remember her telling me this story, okay? So it's called the transition in birth. You know what this in birth, right? You know, you feel the contractions. Okay, things are rolling. All right. Now, nurses, my sister's a nurse. There's something called transition when they're like, oh, this baby's like really coming now. And this is normally the moment when my mom grabbed my dad by his collar and goes, you did this to me. I never forgot it. Okay. When you're praying in the spirit, this is the transition where something's about to happen. The Lord will pray out mysteries of things that need to line up and essentially birth something in the spirit before it happens in the natural. When we pray into the future. We pray for things to come. We pray. There's lots of things to come. And when we're praying, God is laying answers about things we don't even know are coming. Essentially, I heard someone say this. It's like laying down railroad tracks that the train's going to go in the future. Romans 8:27. Now he, Holy Spirit, searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So I used a military example in war. So we're not allowed in the war room. I'm not. And first of all, even if I was, I wouldn't know anything about what they're talking about. You have friends in the military or even people that are emergency responders or honestly anybody in the technical field. They have ACPs and DS this and that. I'm terrible with acronyms. Codes. I don't know what they're talking about. Okay? So we have limitations in prayer. Like if we're praying for a war or you know, we have people in our family that are serving in the military, right? Okay, if we're just praying about, listen, situations on the school board, how about things in the court system? We're not allowed in the back chambers of the judge. And even if we were, I wouldn't understand half the technical terminology. But the Lord does, and he will pray through you. And it's so cool, without limitation, okay? So I'm going to give you a couple stories, and then want to hit one pretty solid point afterwards. Maybe four stories, real quick. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, when we've created space, when we're so full of him, there's a sensitivity that happens when that still small voice comes, or that gut check. You ever just, especially, I'll say this with parents, you ever just have a bad gut feeling about your kid? And you're like texting them, where are you? Well, back in the day, mom didn't have text messaging. We didn't get phone. You knew to pray. We know which one you were praying for too. No names. I'll tell you, I had a wild one in my family. She turned out the best out of all of us. But in high school and in college, we were all like, oh Jesus, what do we pray for? Who is she dating? Okay. Come on. Mom would get this gut feeling like we need to go home, Jack. Jack, we need to go home. Honey, why are we going home a day early? I just got a mother's intuition. Holy Spirit. Go, and it was a house party, and it cleared all the kids out, you know? Okay, come on. Come on, parents. Holy Spirit speaks through us, right? Okay. Now, I'll give you some stories. For instance, different ways God talks to us. You know, sometimes he talks through dreams. Sometimes he talks through that gut feeling, a sense of urgency, or there's another word for it, an unction. I've heard people talk about an unction. It's just this, like, I just need to pray. I don't know why. Something feels off. Come on, something just feels off. And then you think of one person or a family member or a coworker. You saw them, something feels just off. Did you need to hear a voice from heaven? Did you need to have goosebumps? No, just something feels off. Come on, guys, that's God talking to you. All right? So you pray everything that you know in English. And then when you run out of words, go into praying in the spirit in tongues, right? Because I will give an example of this. In the middle of the night, this is years ago, I had a family member, no names, a very different stage of life. They are doing phenomenal now. But at that time, they were not, and they were living far away. And in the middle of the night, I heard a door slam. I thought I heard a door slam. I didn't, but I woke up. And I remembered, you know, I dream very vividly every night. I have adventures in my dreams. So I don't always remember them later, but in the moment, you know what you're dreaming about. In my dream, I woke up and for the sake of time, my family member was in a place that felt off. And a person, and they didn't look weird. Nothing about them made them look weird or bad, but I just could tell they didn't have good intentions for my family member. Does that make sense? I didn't know what to do, but it's just this unction, this kind of urgency to just pray. I started praying. I prayed protection. I prayed. I didn't know what else. I just kept praying. And then I went into tongues and I just prayed just alone in my room until peace came and I fell asleep. So, you know, I called them the next day. They called me back a week later. Go figure. And I don't make it weird, guys. I don't need to make it weird. Thus saith the Lord God, if I television on heaven. Come on. I just said, hey, you know what? I had this dream in the middle of the night. I woke up. I just, you were in it. And I felt to pray, and I didn't know exactly what I was praying for. And they were, like, interested. Like, well, tell me about the dream. I described the person to them. And they go, I know who that person is. What day was it? They were at a very large music festival in a different place. I know, Mom. No. It was really late at night. It was, like, around 2 or 3 in the morning. And they go, I know who that person is. And they've been kind of pushing me, pressuring me into some dark things. I'm gonna leave it at that. Thank you for letting me know. I think it's time for me to kind of cut ties with that person. Okay. I was very vague because I love my family and they're in a great place now. Okay. Another one with the family. I'm telling you, it's important to pray for your family. How many people know we don't always know what we're praying for? This one was not too long ago. I was driving from, you know, West End to East End, and it was a pouring down rain and ugly traffic. And you're either going to get a mood swing, going to meet with my friend for dinner, or I'm just going to go put on worship music and go pray. And I was praying, and I was just, you know, come on, it's raining. And, you know, I just thought, yeah, I just figured I'd just pray in tongues. I don't know. You know, just protection. You know, I'm not the best driver. And I prayed and prayed and then it just kind of peace came and I got to my friends for dinner and we had a really good time and I just drove home and it was just interesting and the rain was gone or whatever and I got a phone call from my brother. He said, Sherry, I just got in a car accident. You okay, Jess? You okay? He was fine. Barely a scratch on him, but his car was completely totaled. What are we praying for? I don't know. But I'm sure glad I prayed, right? These are personal stories with me. I'm trying to think of a third one here. Oh, I have a bunch. A friend of mine in college woke up in the middle of the night, and they just felt to pray. And they started praying in their prayer language, praying in tongues, and it was just quietly to themselves. And they just felt like it was for an elderly person. It's all I don't know. They prayed until they had peace, went back to sleep, and they went to their classes or whatever, and, you know, and then they, you know, at the end of the day, you talk to your roommate, and the roommate opened up that their grandfather had a heart attack in the middle of the night, and they got him to the hospital, and they were just fine, and I'm like, what were we praying for? Wild stuff. Okay. Holy Spirit knows everything we don't, but isn't it good to stop and pray when that unction, that thought, you're like, why am I thinking about this one person? I don't know what to think of. I don't know. Just pray for them. Pray everything that you know to pray. And then dip into these gifts. It's important. Okay. The last point, I want to take the last bit of time to explain this, is, so remember, there's two reasons to pray privately in tongues. For intercession means to cause a meeting with God. Just prayer for other people. Things across the world. I think I shared about the intercessory prayer group, Reese Howe, during World War II. And their prayer group was praying. And I'll tell you, it was aligning. They checked the notes on the dates later of what they specifically felt to pray for. And weird stuff happened. Not weird, but like things shifted in the war, down to even things at Dunkirk. And I talked about it, I think, about a year ago. Cool stuff. Okay. Now, there's another time that calls to just pray for us where it builds us up. How many people know that life is hard and our battery just starts to just kind of get weaker, right? 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4 says, he who speaks in a strange tongue edifies. This word edify comes from the Greek word means to construct, to build up. So it says this, he who speaks in a strange tongue edifies or improves himself, builds yourself up, okay? So how many people know when you're feeling weak and shaky, we like Jenga blocks start to wobble and just start to fall apart. And you may be really good at looking like you got it together on the outside, but you know how we feel on the inside because by the time you get home, our whole family feels it too. So Jude chapter 20 says this, but you, beloved, build yourselves up. Build yourself up in the most holy faith, making progress, rise like an edifice, like a tower, higher and higher, praying in the power of Holy Spirit. So on a rough day, we feel really torn down. All right, so I'm going to get some examples. Number one way that you start your really rough day, I overslept. All right, I overslept. I get to work and I find out that I forgot to send the email on time and the customer called in and reamed out my supervisor and I lost the account. Okay, and then I finally get home and I step in dog poop because the neighbor's dog pooped in my yard again. Again, and then I stepped in my own dog's poop because it's closer to the door. I don't know, okay? And then you get in there and you realize you forgot to thaw the meat, so you have nothing to eat for dinner, and it's cereal night again. And then, I don't know, you realize you forgot to take the trash out and your spouse yells at you. Okay, you know, this is just life, okay? We feel torn down. We started build up on Sunday. I'm built up. And then Monday hits you like a ton of bricks, right? Like a 900 mile lemon thrown at your face, okay? Per hour. All right. So what do? Isaiah 28 verse 11 through 12. Paul quotes this later in Corinthians and talks about the gift of tongues. And it said this, with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. This is refreshing. So Paul is like trying to find an example of like what this tongues thing is and goes back and pulls a scripture and it's like a place of rest. So what happens, you'll start praying in tongues, and you guys, all right, for all the brick people, you pray in tongues, and it what starts to build you up. It's like having a migraine. Anybody ever had a migraine? And it's just excruciating. It's debilitating. It makes you not want to go to church in the morning. And you go, I'm going to choose to get out of bed in faith, even though I don't feel like it. I'm going to go to my grow group. I'm going to go to dinner with my friend, even though I don't feel like talking about things. And I'm going to choose to pray in my prayer language. And I say this in about 10 minutes, it's like having a migraine and taking a migraine medication. It just slowly lifts. That's what it does. All right. The Holtzman Christian Standard Bible says this. This is the place of rest. Let the weary rest. This is the place of repose. It is like the jumper cables to your car. It is like plugging your cell phone in and getting that battery charged up. All right. Now I want to say this, where people mess it up. Okay, so remember, this is tongues in our, personal private prayer time. It's really awesome. It's really strategic. All right, so, you know, we have private conversations. Like, there's things that Brad and I talk about that, you know, we don't need our kids to overhear, you know, like things like that. There are things that, you know, you might talk about with your parent, private family matters that your neighbors don't need to overhear, or the people at the bank or the salon, right? Stacy, they're private matters, okay? So it would be maybe awkward to talk about a personal private matter, maybe with your finances or something you're kind of like fighting about in your marriage or, you know, some family issues, you know. It would be awkward and inappropriate to talk about it in front of people that don't really know you, you know? They don't know you like that. Maybe even acquaintances, right? They, number one, don't understand. So tongues is this private conversation language that there's an appropriate time and appropriate place. Does that make sense? All right. So I'm going to tell you a funny story because now we're going to have some fun here. I had a friend and they had an aunt, and this aunt was really precious. Honestly, love Jesus, super sweet. I love them. But they honestly only, they just didn't hang out with friends. You know those people that all they do is just church, and they don't have any friends, or all their friends are like, excuse me for saying this, like a little weird, and they just keep getting weirder every year. Lovely person. They went to the salon. Stacy used to work in a salon. And this is the same salon that my friend went to. And she goes, Sherry, you'll never guess what Aunt So-and-so did. I go, what? She goes, I just went back to the salon and apparently they were shampooing her hair and she was just praying really loudly in tongues. And I was like, what? She goes, I don't know. I was like, not the time, not the place, making it super weird. Why? And that's why people are like, nope, not coming to your church. Weirdo, not going to your prayer meeting, weirdo. Okay, she's making it so, this not the time, not the place, okay? Because it says in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 14:3, if the whole church assembles together and all are speaking in other languages and people are uninformed, uneducated Christians, right? Or unbelievers come in, will they not say you are out of your mind? You're nuts. Okay, now I'll say this in a small prayer group. So our youth leaders, we don't let any kids in the building before 6 because we need to pray. We pray for the services. We pray for kids. We also don't want to talk about, you know, we have some kids that are struggling with, you know, some dark thoughts. Want to hurt themselves. That's private. But you need to pray. And we don't always know what to pray for. So we will pray in our prayer language together in a small group, but we interpret. Does that make sense? In other words, we'll speak a couple phrases in a tongue and then speak in English and whatever. And we not only, it says this, if you don't interpret it, you don't get built up. You don't know what you're praying for, okay? Another story that is not funny, but just honest on this one. I remember a situation where there was a medical issue and it wasn't severe, like they were okay. But you have to be careful because yes, you want to pray, but it's not good to burst out in tongues in front of the ambulance driver and in front of the doctor and the nurse. I understand the urgency, right? But pray quietly to yourself. Pray quietly. But you should not be bursting out in these things in front of what? Uneducated people, people that are not, they don't know what you're doing. They're going to think you're out of your mind. They're going to think you're nuts. And when you say, don't worry, God's got it, they're going to be like, and I ain't going to your church, and that you've been discredited. Does that make sense? Okay, so there's a time and a place for everything. All right, it is noon, but I want to end on 2 scriptures here. All right, you guys can stand up. And I'll just have to teach this in the future. All right, John 16, verse 13 says, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, will guide you into all truth. He will declare to you things that are to come that will happen in the future. Whew. Acts 10, verse 46, it says, they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. So you can sing in tongues. I have that time with the Lord. I had a wonderful time by myself yesterday. Okay, I got really built up because I was kind of feeling wobbly and shaky like the Jenga blocks. My hormones were making me feel like all kinds of stuff. And I needed to spend a time in prayer. And I was starting to sing unto the Lord, right? 1 Corinthians 14:2. If you're like, how do I interpret my tongues? The Bible says, ask to interpret. It says, one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning. Because in the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to understanding. All right? 1 Corinthians 2. Let's see. Oh, man. That's okay. I'm out of time. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. It says, we are setting forth these truths in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths and spiritual language. It says, it goes on to say this. It says, well, what should I do? I will pray in tongues. And so it says this, I'll pray the mysteries, and I'll pray in a known tongue. I'm trying to find the scripture for it here. It's in here. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just like doing the ending. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. For I pray in an unknown tongue, but my spirit prays within me. But my mind is unproductive. I don't know what I'm talking about. Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me. I will also pray intelligently. I'll pray in English, your primary language, with my mind and understanding. I will sing in my spirit and I will sing with my mind and understanding. For the sake of time, and I'll teach it later, there's a secret place. And like I said, for me, it's on my chair in the living room. It's comfy. It's tons of stains, and that's where my Bible is. For Brad, it's with his guitar on our couch, you know? And sometimes it's in his wood shop, which is our garage right now. We're praying. We're going to build one eventually. We all have these sweet places. My mom, the kitchen, you know? We're just stirring pots and chopping things. These are places that the Lord wants to speak to you and through you. And it's a good opportunity just personally to pray. And even in the middle of the night where unction comes and you don't want to pray for, pray. Pray in tongues, pray in English. Just remember, turn the faucet right, left, right. Just go in. You will find yourself praying out mysteries. You'll get impressions. You'll get pictures. You'll just get a really good gut feeling about what college to go to. You'll just get a really good gut feeling which job offer to take. You'll get a good feeling about which car to buy, which house to get. These are mysteries that the Lord will reveal. All right? Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just love you. We love your word. We love your truth, Lord. And Lord, we just want all of you that we can get. And if that's where your heart out, just say that, Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get. Fill me up. I release you to flow through me. And I want all the gifts that you have for me. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we just love you. And we just thank you that you're showing us how to create space and just take time tonight in the morning or while we're mowing the lawn, just to open up our mouth, pop the lid off, and start praying and worshiping you. And we just give you the wheel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you'd like prayer for any reason, if you'd like to pray in your prayer language, we would love to pray for you. If I can have some church leaders and grow group leaders, we'd love to pray for you anytime. Have a wonderful afternoon and share your story with someone.